Being short, when I was young, I got in fights all the time. And I like the gospel, when someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one as well. And so when I was young, you know, I'd give him my left, and then I'd punch him in the nose after that. So what is our Lord saying here? He's not saying we don't defend ourselves, okay? That's not what he's saying. He's not saying don't defend yourselves. But let's go a little bit deeper and let's try to figure out what he's saying, because I think it's going to have an impact on our lives here of how we deal with injuries in our own lives, what we do with them. You know, our Lord is basically saying we need to be detached from things. We need to be detached especially from ourselves. From ourselves, okay? From our own justification, okay? So we need to be detached from ourselves, from our own justification. You know, where does the buck stop? When do we stop? You know, where does the buck stop? Because, see, anger builds and builds and builds and builds and builds in our lives. And we gotta stop. We've gotta let go. You know, it goes all the way back to the beginning of creation when our Lord created Adam and Eve. And we see in Cain, Cain kills his brother. And so when God places a curse on Cain, and God says to Cain, anybody who injures you, sevenfold will be the vengeance, God says. Sevenfold will be the vengeance. And then Cain has a grandson, and that grandson says, if Cain's vengeance was sevenfold, my vengeance is 77 times fold. So see, the anger and the bitterness just continue to grow within our lives. So how do we deal with that anger and bitterness so that it doesn't grow in our lives and so it doesn't take over us? Because see, when somebody injures us, what transpires in our life is, believe it or not, when somebody sins against us, we become slaves to that person. We become slaves to them. We're chained to them. Because they begin to control our emotions, our thoughts, our anxiety. We become very anxious, fearful, angry. And see, as anger increases in our life, what also increases? Other sins within our life begin to increase. And so anger creates greater sin. And it's like being guided and directed by this individual, because our thoughts run constantly in our head. Think about this. Everybody suffers this. I do. You know, somebody injures me, and next thing I do, what do? I start thinking I'm angry with the person. And what do I begin to do? This thing right here begins to run really powerful. And it begins to make up all these stories. Well, if he does this, or if he does that, or if she does this, or if she does that, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And so we make up all these scenarios in our head of how we're going to defend ourselves. And what does that create? That creates greater anger and anxiety. And so when we see the person, our anger is really strong towards that person because there's no forgiveness there. There's nothing there. And see, that person's sin, it's just like, you know what it's like? It's like when Jesus says, hey, if somebody takes your tunic, you know, give them, or if somebody takes your, let me see, if somebody wants to go to law with you over your tunic, give them your cloak as well, you know? Well, what it's like, is it's like what happens is, you know when you're playing with your dog, you have this long tail, and you're playing with the dog, and you're just dragging the dog all over the place. See, that's what happens to us. We're the dog. And when that person has control over us, that's what they're doing. They're dragging us all over the place. They're dragging us all over the place. We look like a fool. How do we deal with that? What do we do with that? What do we do with those emotions? You know? There was quite a few years back, when I was a young priest, I was working with this young girl. She had been raped. A girl, little girl, in her teens, early teens, had been raped. They caught the man, and the man was thrown into prison down in Canyon City. And you know, the girl was really struggling. Yeah, there's injuries there, memories, everything. And she really struggled. But what she did was what Christ did. She refused to be a slave to this man for the rest of her life. So she got special permission, went down to Canyon City, went to the prison there, and she saw the man, and she said to the man face to face, "I forgive you." And the man said, "Nobody's ever done that before." At that moment, she broke the chains that bound her. She was free. She was no longer a slave. But not only did she break those chains to free herself, but she broke that man's chains because it gave him the opportunity to seek God's forgiveness, reconciliation with God. Because he had never experienced forgiveness in his life. I had a man approach me one time and said, "Father, I just really struggle with my brother. It's been 15 years, 10, 15 years, I've been fighting with him. And we just are not seeing eye to eye. We don't talk much. It's hard for me to forgive him." And I said to the man very simply, I just said to him, "When was the last time you went to confession?" And he says, "I don't remember, Father. It's been an awful long time." And I said, "How can you give what you don't have? If you have not experienced forgiveness in your life, how can you give that forgiveness? How can you give unconditional forgiveness? Look at Christ, what Christ did upon the cross for us. You know, forgiveness isn't about fluff. You know, I think we got this, we have this bad idea. It's really screwed up to think that forgiveness is like, oh, I'm going to feel fluffy and fine. After I forgive this person, everything's going to be fine and we're going to have a great relationship and we'll walk hand in hand. No, take a look at Christ upon the cross. I mean, he wasn't experiencing fluff. His skin was ripped from his body. Nails were jammed into his hands. A crown of thorns on his head pressing down, giving him the worst migraine there had to be. And what did Christ say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He made up an excuse for us. They are in ignorance. Forgive them, for they are in ignorance. Believe me, Christ was not feeling fluffy. He was hurting. Flies were all over him. He was hurting. How do we deal with that hurt in our own lives too? You know, because like I said, it's not about fluff. Because see, when we forgive somebody, we're still going to suffer pain. I got metal in my body. I got metal all over the place. You know, and there's times in which my ankle, where I have some metal there, locks up and it's really painful. I'll be walking along and all of a sudden it'll lock up. And I'll just like, ugh, I'd almost fall over on my face. And what happens to me at that moment? What do I think of? I think about how I got the injury. That's what I think about. I think about how I got the injury and who the doctor was. I had a great doctor. Who the doctor was that fixed it. But see, that's the same with our injuries, because sometimes our spiritual injuries, our emotional injuries, they peak up, they get up there. And so what do we do with those? See, those are just memories. We've forgiven somebody. Yeah, are we going to get frustrated? Are we going to get angry with the person because we're going to think about the person? Yeah, but we need to stop it there. The buck needs to stop somewhere. The buck needs to stop somewhere so that this vengeance, this vindictiveness does not keep growing in our heart and our mind and overcome us. It has to stop. The best way to battle those things is when those pain and those injuries arise, we say, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, I offer to you this pain that I'm suffering right now. I offer it up to you through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Chaste Heart of St. Joseph. I always say those two because why? Because they're purifying vessels. Because believe me, right now I'm not feeling pure. And they will purify those emotions that I'm feeling. I offer it up to you through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Chaste Heart of St. Joseph for the salvation of souls, for the salvation of sinners. And when I think of the individual, if I think about the individual who has injured me, or I see the individual and it brings up memories, I'll say, Lord God, bless and sanctify this person according to your will for your glory and your honor. You see how I say it, your glory and honor? Because I get my expectations out of the way. What are my expectations? Because I have these high expectations. Because if this man doesn't convert or this woman does not convert, then my expectations are in the way. And so I get all upset. I still remain upset. But if my expectations are out of the way and I let God do the work according to his will for his glory and honor, then I have freed myself from those emotions again. My expectations are in God, that God's going to do what he wants to do by the best means possible. And even if it means my sanctification without the other individual's conversion. We got to get out of the way. We got to free ourselves. We can't be so attached to our emotions. We need to let them go, our own justification. We need to let it go. As great saints said, believe me, when we're injured by somebody, it might not have been a just injury at that time, but think about our past sins, and maybe it's just making up for our past sins against somebody else. Think about this. How many of you all go to confession? Everybody should raise their hands. How many of you all go to confession? And in the confessional, confess the sin against an injury against somebody. You've injured somebody. And yet, we never go to reconcile ourselves with the person. We never reconcile ourselves with the person. But still, we confess that sin. I have sinned against my brother by doing X, Y, and Z. Forgive me, Father. And in the end, what do we hear? I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we go absolved, but yet that person does not know. We have received God's mercy unconditionally. If somebody sins against us, should we not forgive them like we have received forgiveness in the confessional? Should we not forgive them the same way without expecting them to come to us and say, I am sorry for injuring you? We need to give what we have received, and we have received that unconditional mercy of God. So we better be prepared to forgive that other person and to pray for that person unconditionally too. We need to free ourselves from that slavery, from building up that anger, that frustration, from that self-righteous justification. It's not easy. It takes practice over and over and over again. And believe me, we're going to have plenty of practice in our lives. But by doing that, we not only free ourselves, and we are no longer enslaved to the sin of the other, but we also will free the other so that they can be free and approach God and receive his mercy as we have experienced God's mercy.